Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio someone who's been here many times, Selena Ortega-Giolera, who is the executive director of the Palmer Museum of History and Art. Have you added any embellishment to your title since you were last here?
No, trying to keep it as simple as possible.
The Palmer Museum of History and Art remains one of the better known features. You know, we talk about Palmer as a kind of a hidden gem here, but I have the feeling that the Palmer Museum of History and Art has become in recent years much better known than once it was, even though it occupies a position that's sort of obvious, very near the library and very much in the center of downtown Palmer. So what have you been up to recently over there in the dark of night or the dark of day during the winter?
Oh, we've been extremely busy, actually. We, within the last year, as you know, we've kind of restructured a little bit and changed our focus in some of the projects that we want to accomplish. And throughout this past winter, most notably, of course, we've been working on our historical photograph project. We have now four volunteers, including Richard Esteller, collections manager, who's been focused on that, scanning photographs, properly transferring all of those items into archival materials for proper storage. And at the same time, we're also doing a collections storage reinstallation. We've purchased new racks. We've spent about $3,000 on archival materials to transfer everything into proper storage, and we're also going to be entering the final phase of creating covers for all of our racks as well.
Oh, well, sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, so that's the first big project we've been doing. Next, we've just recently finalized our 2017 temporary exhibit schedule,
okay,
which is pretty exciting. We'll have two more traveling exhibits coming to Palmer from the lower 48. We're very excited about that. We will be transitioning into our new exhibit around the middle of next month, our high school juried art exhibit, Beyond the Classroom. That will be hopefully installed by March 11th. It will be comprised of artwork from students from high schools all throughout the Matsu Valley. We're very excited. It'll be the third year that we're doing that. It's been very well received, and it's being supported by Blaine's Art Supply in Anchorage. We're providing participatory, gifts,
okay,
to all of the students that are participating. And then they're also providing the prizes for the winners in the certain categories that we'll have. And then we'll have representatives from several major art organizations in the Valley, Palmer Arts Council, Valley Fine Arts Association, Valley Arts Alliance, and of course the Palmer Museum will be judging the students' artwork.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that,
I know.
That reflects, you've done a very nice job of summarizing this description. And yet I know that to put together what is going to happen requires a lot of coordination in particular when you bring in a variety.
Absolutely.
You're working with different organizations. And also it's a reflection on the quality of the art community, if you will, here in the Valley.
Yeah, it's really great. Anytime we've coordinated an event, if it has to do with students or the children in our community, no one ever hesitates to find a way to make it happen, which is extremely admirable, I think. And it also shows how much they want to support the arts for the younger people in our community. This particular exhibit is something I'm pretty passionate about, simply for the fact that we don't charge any entrance fees. We don't have any participation fees. And the whole exhibit was really designed to try to encourage students to make art a part of their lives and continue to do so in the future.
Well, wonderful. So that's the art part of things. Of course, this is the Palmer Museum of History and Art.
Yes.
And you seem to be covering both of those areas.
We try. One of the bigger history aspects that we're going to be focusing on this year actually will be having to do with Radio Free Palmer as well, since you, your organization has agreed to help us with it.
Right.
We just found out the day before yesterday, we were awarded a Rasmussen Tier 1 grant.
Wonderful.
To go towards supporting us to finally develop a audio tour for the museum.
Yes.
And based on meetings within our staff and our board, we've decided to kind of change our focus a little bit for our audio tour. Originally, it was just going to be an audio tour of our collection displays. What we've decided to do instead, because we feel it's more important and it's a component that's needed in our community, our audio tour will be an abbreviated tour of what Richard Estelle provides to our school groups.
Right.
That will be of the collections.
Okay.
It will be of the showcase garden. And then most importantly, it's going to be a historical walking tour of Palmer, downtown Palmer. Our staff has already started researching for that with the assistance of Richard Estelle, our collections manager. And the grant is going to be able to allow us to afford the cost of equipment. We'll be using audio headsets, and they're non-location based, which is great because that means we can go anywhere in downtown Palmer. And it will also for the cost of translation into two foreign languages, Japanese and Korean, which are predominant international languages that we get in Palmer.
Whoa, that is wonderful. As you were talking about that, I was reflecting that in the last few months, I've been in a number of other museums. I'd like to visit them and think back to our place here in Palmer. Was at Monticello, of course, yes. Which is...
And they have one of the best audio tours.
That's right. And we participated in that. Of course, they have this incredible place, Monticello itself, where there's a tour. But the museum prior to going up there is phenomenal. I mean, relatively small space. And I think that's what reminded me, saying... Palmer Museum of History and Art has a relatively small space, but we spent hours in it, and I recognize the in-depth work that was required to have a compelling story at each of those items or periods that you were looking at. We were also up at in Fairbanks at the Museum of the North, another wonderful facility, and. As well in Washington, D.C., the Phillips Museum, as well as the Museum of Modern Art. All of these places, some of them are very large and they have all kinds of stuff. But I think it's whether you're big or small, it appeared to me that what convinced me to stay for a while and not just walk through was the story that in some cases was a printed story in some cases, having someone who was telling the story or an audio piece that I could listen to. And that makes, that engages, I think, someone very much more than, and you certainly, there's an opportunity for someone to wander at their own pace. But if you want to understand or get a bit more of a picture, having this kind of audio, I think, is going to be magnificent.
Oh, I agree. Especially in our instance, as you mentioned, a small facility, there's only so much of a story you can put in written form to really grasp, I think, and to get a feeling of what our community is about. You really need to have that audio component, I feel. The other thing is that it'll be an opportunity for us to maybe even get some older members of our community
right.
to have their voices heard. And I
exactly.
think we're kind of approaching that time where a lot of the older people in our community, they're not getting any younger. And I think it's really important that we capture those moments while they're still here. So we're very excited to be able to have the support of the Rasmussen Foundation to be able to make this happen. Yeah, it's definitely one of the bigger projects that we have going on this year. In partner with that, the museum also got a grant late last year. And we were very fortunate to have designers from Exhibit AK and Juno fly up here. And they created a conceptual design schematic, which would be show pretty much a plan for the future for the Palmer Museum of History and Art. It includes totally revamping our storyline. Right now, we do a chronological timeline of the history of Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
It's efficient, but it's not really engaging. And it doesn't really help us partner well with the Colony House Museum. So the designers came up. We had several sessions with the community and some input. And the result is that we're changing the presentation of our story so that it's going to be more of how the Palmer ecology has shaped the lives of the people that live here. We feel like this would be a great change for the presentation of our displays because it will help partner well with the Showcase Garden, which, as you know, is on our grounds. But at the same time, will allow, I think, the Colony House Museum to be kind of like a separate shining, you know, facility in town. Unfortunately, it's going to take a substantial amount of funding to accomplish this plan, but at least we have one now and we didn't have that before. And the designers, Exhibit AK, they did a wonderful job with the State Museum. They were the ones who helped do that upgrade. So we're hoping that they'll be able to do the same thing for us once we secure funding.
Well, as you were talking, I was flashing to other places, Plymouth Plantation or Williamsburg, obviously large investment areas, but that go beyond, and I'm thinking that's what you're saying here, go beyond a single building that
Absolutely.
You step into, but with the gardens, with the house that's nearby, with even the other homes that are nearby that have a historic nature to them.
Absolutely. I feel like Palmer has, they have all of the ingredients for a successful and prosperous community, especially in regards to the tourism industry. The only problem is we either in the past haven't had the resources to make it happen or just haven't had the right people, I guess, to kind of guide us through that period. And I feel like we're really close to approaching that time when we can do that. The Palmer Museum absolutely recognizes that we can't do it alone. And mm-hmm. we definitely need help. And we have so many wonderful resources here that we want to use. We would like to be kind of like the hub where people start from, mm-hmm. but definitely we want people to branch out into the community. As you know, I'm not from Alaska. I'm from the Lower 48. So I've been in many places, and being a military brat, I've been very fortunate to see some of these places, as you mentioned, that are visiting, like Mackinac Island in Michigan. And these are communities where they have historical remnants.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that to their advantage to promote tourism, but in a clever way where they're also promoting the history and the culture of their area. And we have that here. We just haven't really tapped into it yet. And we're hoping with the historical walking tour, we can start doing that. So hopefully we'll see that happen within the next year.
And I know that the City of Palmer City Council has recently agreed to have people associated with a wayfinding committee that would seem to be one of those essential pieces to note where things are. Signage is, as you know, very often a critical component in helping
yes,
people
absolutely.
Find things. And I was also struck by a presentation by council member Pete LaFrance, who was talking about the biking trails that exist and could be significantly improved, because we find that when we start talking about people coming to Palmer, certainly people come through their own vehicles. They may come through in a bus, but they also come through to spend time either walking or riding on the trails, and et cetera, that are both in and about Palmer. And I think those are other components of this whole thing of why, you know, what is so pleasant that it attracts people to come in and along the way enjoy the work that you've done as well.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think I know Pete LaFrance has been, it's kind of one of his projects, and I love to see that he's taken it so seriously, and he's really been trying to promote that aspect of our community. Absolutely, I agree with what they're doing. And I feel like we're kind of entering a new phase for our community, yeah. and I'm very excited about it. And we're just hoping at the Palmer Museum that we'll be able to help support that. But yeah, that's going to be a pretty exciting year, I think. Several projects underway, those new exhibits that I'd mentioned. And then we've also expanded, as you know, in our programming with Untold Stories. And we're hoping to try to find some other new programs to introduce to the community.
Right. The Untold Stories has been a very, very well attended, and I think it's been significant in allowing the stories of the community to be told and captured. Recently attended a performance of the Moth Radio Hour and listened to those stories being told and the whole process. I think what we mentioned, I think in the pre-talk, I mentioned the Untold Stories that are happening here with a group that is doing untold stories or stories throughout the state of Alaska. And whether you're at that national level of the Moth Radio Hour or you're looking locally here, finding ways to have those stories told to assist people to tell them is a marvelous way to engage people and also to get information of a different sort out that's not normally told.
Yeah, I agree. It's been extremely well received in our community. We've pretty much almost sold out every performance that we've had since the beginning. And it's really great to see the people that come forward to contribute their stories. And what I always find pretty, and I guess entertaining and kind of amusing is how some of these people are very shy.
Right.
And they go through coaching sessions to try to help them. But it's really amazing how they have these great stories, but some of them are very timid in coming forward, while others are just ready to get out there and share their story.
Right.
One thing that we tried with the last episode was we had Pat Lawton as a guest storyteller, who was amazing.
I listened to that. Very, very good.
And it was just kind of an idea to try to get maybe an older member of our community to be featured. And because it was so well received, it's something we're going to try to do for all of our future episodes. So they won't be listed in the original lineup. And basically, when you come to an episode, you'll be surprised to find out who our guest historical figure, I guess you could say, from the community will be at the same time.
So. Wonderful. Well, many listeners are aware of the Palmer Museum History and Art at this point. How about reminding that on February 17th, or the middle of winter here, is the museum open?
We are. Our winter hours, well, year-round, our winter hours begin on October 1st, and we go through April 30th. That is Wednesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and every second Saturday of the month, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay.
6 p.m., excuse me. And then our summer operational hours start on May 1st, go through September 30th, and we're open every day of the week, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Very good. So you have a website and Facebook page, I'm guessing.
We do. Our website is www.palmermuseum.org. And then our Facebook is a little different. It was actually started when it was the Palmer Visitor Information Center. So we have, if you look up Palmer VIC, and then we have smaller pages attached to that, one for the temporary exhibit and one just for the Palmer Museum. And we've now also started an event page for Untold Stories and the Midsummer Garden Art Fair.
Okay. So people can find out about all of that, stop by, et cetera. Do you have any upcoming events in the near term? I know from time to time there are evenings or other kinds of things. Something before summer hits us.
We actually do. Well, actually, there's one this weekend on Sunday at Vagabond Blues. We'll be having If These Aprons Could Talk. The museum currently has a traveling exhibit from the Lower 48 called Apron Strings, Ties to the Past. It's a apron exhibit comprised of 51 historical aprons from the late 1800s through the 1980s. And it uses the aprons as a conversational piece of talking about how societal roles have changed in the household over the years. And to kind of celebrate this and help people connect with the exhibit, the museum will be hosting an event at Vagabond Blues on Sunday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., If These Aprons Could Talk. It's kind of a I would say Untold Stories Light.
Okay.
We'll be having several guest speakers who'll be telling 5-minute stories about their aprons. And these are people who are in professions that require aprons. So I believe we have a dentist, a chef, an artist, a farrier, and there's a few others. But we're also encouraging people to wear their own aprons. There'll be enough time for a few people to maybe even share their own stories, 5 minutes. And this entire event is by donation only. So it's not really being charged. Just donate whatever you feel is best. And all the proceeds go towards supporting the 2017 temporary exhibit schedule.
Whoa, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's the closest one. Then, of course, March, I think it is the 11th, which is second Saturday, we'll be doing the Palmer Art Walk. That's from 2 to 6 p.m., and we're still trying to figure out exactly what we're going to do. We might be doing our living art display again, but we're working on that and trying to get volunteers to help out with that. And then April 23rd is the next episode of Untold Stories, and the theme is Spring Breakup, and we're still accepting stories for that episode right now, too.
Oh, okay. Great. Mike Malevsky here. We've been talking with Selena, who's the executive director at the Palmer Museum of History and Art. Selena, do you have any other comments to make before we finish up today?
No, just definitely visit our website to check out the list of events and the temporary exhibits that we have going on. If you know a high school student in the area, please encourage them to submit a piece of art for our exhibit Beyond the Classroom. And we're always still looking for volunteers. Right now, we've already started planning for this year's Garden Art Fair. We definitely would appreciate any volunteers who want to help with that. Any volunteers who want to help with our historical photograph project are more than welcome to come by and stop by and speak with us.
Okay. Well, thank you again for coming in early today as we do another edition of Inside the City.